So, Lord, are you thankful for the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ? Amen. Let's go to the word of the Lord today, Genesis chapter 19 and verse 24. I feel today that God has directed us to this point for this service, for this time, and for this place, and for every soul that's gathered here today. I feel like God's preparing our hearts and getting us ready for something that He wants to do, but I feel that the Lord wants there to be a lasting change in lives today. A lasting change. Praise the Lord. I'm a great fan of conviction preaching. Conviction preaching. Where there's old-fashioned conviction that grips our heart and life changes are made. Life change is not just a new catchword, catchphrase for religion. Life change, that happened to all of us at some point, and it needs and it must continue. We must have a change. Amen. I want to come to the Lord and there be a change in me. And so we pray that that would take place today. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. In preaching today, I ask that we would each use our imagination to consider a place and a time which none of us truly want to experience, yet we are in real danger of if we don't listen to the right voice. Let us consider today the last night of Sodom. The last night of Sodom. Dear Lord, we thank you for the great moving of your presence and your power in this house and for what you've already done. I pray, God, that you would help us to move from the place of resistance to the place of willingness and openness, that you can have your way in our hearts, that you can move and work in us, Lord. I pray that you would shake us awake from our slumber. I pray, God, that you'd move upon our minds. Let every wall come down, every wall that we've erected to try to keep you out of the innermost places of our heart. I pray that those walls would come down today and that we would be willing to follow you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. It is in Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 17, that we find the prelude to the scriptures that we read today for our text. It is over these 17 important verses that we find our background today. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." Verse 9, and they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they worried themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast there any here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Notice with me today the difference in verse 2 and the difference in verse 17. In verse 2, the message was, tarry all night. In other words, come on in and enjoy yourself. Take it easy and relax. Yet then in verse 17, the message has drastically changed, and now it is escape for thy life. Don't wait around. Don't stop to smell the roses, and look not behind you. Don't you stay in the valley, but get up to the mountains so that you're not consumed. It was the last night of Sodom, and there are two drastically different points of view. One was the words of a man caught up in sin, and the other, the warnings of angels. No two viewpoints could be more different. From tarry all night to escape for thy life. How vital it is today that someone would be a willing herald of truth, a watchman on the wall to proclaim the warning far and wide, to sound the alarm, to awaken slow souls from slumber, to tell them it's not time to tarry in sin, to linger in immorality, to stay in transgression. No, we cannot tarry in sinfulness that so many are comfortable in, but there needs to be an alarm to escape for our lives. Come on, there needs to be an alarm. Go forth to make our calling and election sure. Yes, it was the last night of Sodom. They chose to live in the most wicked city of their day. They didn't need to live there. But perhaps money blinded their eyes. Lot didn't need to go there to make a living. He was a rich man before he ever moved to Sodom. But an honest look at Lot's life shows that what took him there was simply the love of the world. That's the truth of the matter. He was caught up with the allure of bright lights and the worldly excitement. He was caught up with sin's invitation, captivated by the thrill of the flesh. A man as successful as Lot should have had enough sense to not try raising a family in that dreadful place. Isn't it strange and isn't it tragic how the glitter of gold will blind a man's eyes to where he's willing to lose it all for some worthless ambition, climbing the ladder of success to only find out when you've reached the top that you've lost some things along the way. You've lost your family. You've lost your peace. You've lost your salvation. Oh, I believe we ought to be the best that we can be, but not at the expense of our souls. Not at the expense of our families. Mark 8:36 is so true. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So they lingered. So they drove their stakes deeper and deeper into the soil of that wicked city, until it was all but impossible to pull things up. They had too much invested. Their family had grown and settled there. Lot was recognized in the city. He held a responsible position in the city government. And Lot's wife, perhaps, was a member of the PTA. And she was found in the pages of Who's Who of Sodom. Oh, they had arrived. They had everything they'd ever dreamed of. But what a life. Because it was the last night of Sodom. Think with me today, the mercy. Oh, the mercy of God. When judgment could be delayed no longer, God sent two angels to warn this businessman and his family so they might escape the burning destruction. You see, an old-fashioned uncle had been praying for them. Yes, Abram had, he'd been praying for Lot, even though Abram had got the short end of the stick. Abram had given Lot the first choice, and in choosing the well-watered plain, it had meant Lot's family's destruction. But I'm thankful for the mercy of God, because he's always still reaching for us. Oh, thank God for his love toward us, that he's continually seeking, he's continually pursuing us, that he might cover us with his blood and set us free from sin. I've come to tell somebody today that he's still reaching for you. He's still seeking to work in your life. He still reaches in spite of our mistakes. Oh, thank God for his mercy. Hallelujah. But in the city of Sodom, Lot thought that there was so much to enjoy. The excitement of the city, the vibrant nightlife, the fashion, the high society that they were a part of. Lot thought that this was really it. The men from another world knew better. It's the difference between the flesh and the spiritual. How many have bought into the same lives of the devil, believing that they've arrived and that their life is full, that they've really made it, when they're only seeing through the eyes of the flesh? I pray that something spiritual would happen here today, that our spiritual eyes would be opened, that we would hear in the spirit the alarm going forth, that we would feel in our very being the warning for our soul. Oh, I pray that today we would smell the clouds of fire and see the brimstone gathering, so that in our spirits we would awaken here today, because I tell you, a day of reckoning is coming. This world may not know it. They're too busy to pay attention to the signs, but there's coming a day of judgment. God, let our hearts be so sensitive to that today. Hallelujah. If there's one lesson that this account of Sodom teaches, it's that things are not always what they seem. My job here today is to provoke our conscience, to kindle a little flame within your heart, to rally your soul, to remind somebody that we are not of this world. And before we get too comfortable, this is not our eternal destiny. Before we relax ourselves and enjoy the sights and sounds of this life, I've got to tell somebody, Jesus Christ is coming soon. He's looking for a church. He's looking for a people that have made themselves ready. There's a reckoning of souls today. It may seem fine on the surface, but things are about to change. It was the last night of Sodom. The night before the morning that brought destruction, Lot and his wife prepared a wonderful dinner for the two angels. They probably all sat down together and ate the meal that had been prepared. And that night they experienced a scene of unspeakable evil, which should have made them anxious to escape that city of sin. Yet they had gradually been sucked into that sick society, so that abominable evil was no longer shocking and dreadful, but just par for the course. Little by little, in the beginning, Lot began simply just setting his tent up facing Sodom. But before long, we find him in the midst of the city, having become a part of that revolting place. And Satan works his way into our lives just the same. We don't always realize the effects, what we would have never once allowed into our house. Technology that we would have never consumed, language we would have never endorsed, attitudes that we would have never permitted, habits that we would have never sanctioned. Yet over time, the enemy weaves his way into our lives because we gradually become so calloused to sin. And what was once only a little now becomes a lot. And little by little, we find ourselves in the midst of Sodom, to where what once would have rattled us to our very core now doesn't even move our blood pressure. And into that mental and spiritual state that Lot finds himself, walks two messengers with a warning from heaven. Pray that somebody hears this warning today. It's not time to see how close to the world we can get. It's not time to set our tents up facing Sodom. It's not time to allow compromise. This is not the time to let down on doctrine. It's not time to allow more and the more of the world into our lives. But oh, my dear brother, I want to tell you, you must not be comfortable without a prayer life. I've come to tell somebody today, you can't just shrug off that burden of the Spirit anymore. Hey, it's the final hour of time, and after all of history, don't you dare give up on what has brought you this far. Don't dare give up on the principles that have got you to this point in place in time. It's time to hold to the truth like never before. It's time to pray like never before. It's time to have revival even more than ever before. Don't let down on the standards that have protected your home. Don't let the enemy bring you into Sodom. Hey, there has to be a heavenly warning that would go forth today. Somebody look out. Somebody wake up. Escape for your life. Sodom was Sin City in the midst of a fertile land. Looking about on this evening, there were no signs of wrath in the sky. Perhaps the weather was quite pleasant. Not a cloud to be seen. A little breeze blowing through the streets. A beautiful sunset that was to be the city's last. The houses of sin were all open to sell out crowds, people standing in line to partake of more and more evil. Nothing along the busy streets to suggest a final night. Nothing in the air to hint of destruction. No sirens sounding a warning. No one hurrying people towards a shelter. No screams in the night. The nightclubs were full. The music was lit. The appetite for lust was in full swing. It was the last night of Sodom, but business is good. Big spenders directed their camels toward downtown. After all, they deserved their fun. They'd worked hard this week, and now it was time for a night out on the town, and money was flowing, and the city fathers were pleased. And yes, Lot was among them. Luxury does not indicate great spiritual health. Luxury does not indicate great spiritual health. America needs to hear that today. because of the blessings of Almighty God. And because of those blessings alone, we enjoy luxury and affluence, and we're the most indulgent society on planet Earth. But all of that has only served to breed sin and destruction. And we're now suffering the effects of a society devoid of any thought of God, because now we're self-reliant. Hey, if we have it this good without God, why would we even need him? Why would we submit to his plan for us? Why would we even care what he thinks about our lives? But it was the last night of Sodom. There wasn't much in the way of church choices in town. Sodom really wasn't in the Bible Belt. They majored in eating and drinking, in buying and selling, in planting and building, in marrying and giving in marriage. It was an endless party, and there was no room for God, and there was no thoughts for their soul. Had anyone suggested that this was their final night, they would have been laughed at and mocked to scorn. And there's people that live on our streets with the same thoughtless, pleasure-loving lifestyle. They don't want to hear of judgment. They don't want to hear of destruction. They don't want to consider that they're living on borrowed time. Eternity is just something for preachers to talk about. But after all, that old preacher, he's not in step with the times. He's just old-fashioned, and we shouldn't give it another thought, but just continue on unmoved. Continue on unchanged and unconcerned for the state of your soul. But it's still the last night of Sodom. And so the messengers came. It wasn't much to set them apart. There wasn't a great welcome committee, but Lot offered them shelter, and he didn't know for sure who they were. He didn't expect the awful task that they'd been given, but in his goodness toward them, he found help for his soul. There needs to be a welcome in our hearts today for a message from another world. There needs to be an openness for us to hear the voice of God today. Let there be a willingness for his Spirit to speak to us. Hey, I'm preaching to a great group of people here today, but we've got to have an open voice, an open heart to the voice of God. We've got to accept the leading of his Spirit. Hey, he's reaching for us in mercy. He's reaching for us in grace, but we've got to be willing to let him in. We've got to be willing to listen to his voice. Lot said, come in. I want to hear what you've got to say. Oh, it wasn't a popular thing to do. The gangs on the street had their own hospitality in mind, and they demanded the visitors submit to the depravity that has given their city a name of infamy, and even until today. They took to demonstrating in front of Lot's house, and so blinded and crazed by sin that they didn't even care that these men carried instant destruction. The messengers came for one purpose, to see, was there any in the city that could be delivered from doom? Because the city was beyond revival. Nothing could save it. God had sent his best from another world, and they had been met with demonic lust. They came as angels of mercy, ready to lead any willing souls to safety, but they left as agents of judgment. Can you see it with me today? Is Lot, he's permitted to slip out and urge his family to flee the doomed city. Imagine Lot moving carefully through the streets before dawn to urge his family to believe, but to no avail. No doubt they told him, just go on home and take something to quiet your excited nerves. And it is one of the loneliest scenes in the whole Bible. An elder man desperately making his way through the dark streets, knocking at his children's doors, making one final attempt to save their souls. when Lot comes back, the first streaks of day are visible in the sky, and the angels can wait no longer. The city in slumber after its night of play. No one is alarmed. Just listen. Just look around. There's not one word of warning except for a couple of strangers saying, the Lord will destroy this city. I want to tell you, it does not matter what the majority thinks. It does not matter what the consensus might be. Popular opinion means nothing against the Word of God. It's time to wake up today and to take to heart the scriptures of His Word. It's time that we listen to the warning that's going forth. I know it seems like everything is fine in the world, but there's coming a day of judgment, and God is sending us a warning today. Don't be found in the valley of decision, but make your decision for Him today. Oh, I'll make a decision tomorrow. I don't know if we've got tomorrow. I'll make a decision next year. I don't know that we've got next year. It was the last night in Sodom, and that's all they had. Oh, God, let there be a moving upon our hearts. Let there be a burden that grips us. Let there be conviction that wakes us up here today. I don't want to wait any longer, but I've got to make my calling and election sure. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I give Him everything. Shut up. When we're talking about salvation, there is no time for a backward look. There's no time for a backward look. We've got to set our face and say, I'm living for Jesus Christ. When destruction hit, Lot's daughters' husbands were probably making their way to poke fun at the frightened old man, to laugh about his sleepwalking the night before. When the end came, the high society was just stretching themselves awake, considering their busy calendars and planning new pleasures of sin for the day. When it hit, young people were just beginning to stir and already thinking of what club they attend the next night. They never made it. But fire and brimstone canceled every appointment. Every appointment, that is, except for two. The appointments of death and judgment. For it was the last night of Sodom. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36 tells us, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. No man knows the day. No man knows the hour. I can remember being a young person, and I thought every once in a while I'd miss the rapture. But I wonder today, do we still have that fear? Do we still have that check in our spirit? I've come to tell somebody, it's still going to happen. It's still coming. The Lord is still coming back for a church. No man knows the day. No man knows the hour. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised next year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We may look around at life and it seems like everything's just kicking along like normal. We get wrapped up in living and going to work and going to school and going through the motions, and church becomes ordinary, and our prayer life lacks the passion it once had. And our soul is lulled to slumber by life and circumstance. We become nonchalant about spiritual things. We allow a little worldliness in, and then a little more and a little more, until our spiritual man is only a shadow of what we once were. And thus was the last night of Sodom. I wonder if you'd stand with me here today. The lesson for each of us here today is summed up in two very short passages from our text. The thing we must consider is found in two sayings that I've taken from this account. One is from man, from the fleshly, temporary world. The other message is from God and from eternity. The one message says, tarry, relax, be at ease, enjoy yourself. Don't be alarmed, things are going so good. The other message says, escape for your life. Don't you dare look behind you. The one says, live it up. Eat, drink, and be merry. You don't need to consider the state of your soul. But the other says, thou fool, this night thy soul will be required of thee. We must make a choice today. And that choice weighs heavy on our souls. No one can make that choice for us. But we each must choose what voice we'll listen to. I know it just seems like maybe more of the same from this preacher today. Just another attempt to stir our hearts, just another try to disturb us from our sleep when everything seems to be fine in our world around us. But everything's not as it appears to be, and there's coming a day of reckoning. I want to tell you, God's patience does know a limit. Yes, He's reaching for us in this hour, but do we have time to tarry? Can we afford to delay? God has sent great messengers to us. We've heard preaching time after time after time. We're accustomed to feeling the tug of our spirit. Oh, I want to say, we've got to listen to that warning today. There's two voices. The voice of the flesh and the voice of the spirit. One voice says, tarry, wait, take it easy. There's plenty of time. The other voice says, hurry, escape for your life. I can't think of anything today that's more important than our salvation. Am I ready to meet the Lord? I wonder if we could find a place to pray. Place of prayer today, and make sure that we're not listening with the voice of our flesh, but that we're hearing the voice of the Spirit. I don't know how much time we have. Time is running out. Come on, would you let the Spirit seek and search your heart right now. Oh, God, let conviction get a hold of me. Hatayara la la basataya la la boshaya la masikia. Kandaya.